This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Now we're on.
Yep.
Okay, take your headphone off for a second because you can't hear me.
No, I can hear you now.
Have you heard of Polish chickens?
Yes.
I mean, seriously?
Yes.
And you've not?
Never heard before you.
Well, it's a true story. Now, I'm a city kid like you're a city kid. What do we know about chickens? We know chickens, you get them at Publix. Right.
And you barbecue them.
Yeah, and you barbecue them, right? So, anyway, client of mine, this is a true story, is originally from Jamaica. He happens to be a cousin of Colin Powell's.
Oh.
And in Jamaica, everybody owns chickens. So here he is, retired guy, professional, moves down to Port St. Lucie, got a gorgeous house, nice neighborhood, but he wants chickens. So he goes up to the farmer's market in Fort Pierce, and he buys 3 chicks, buck a piece. And he builds a $150, $200 chicken house in his backyard.
Coop.
Chicken coop, yep, chicken coop. Thank you. I'm a country boy. I need a country boy over here to help me a little bit. And the chickens grow. Can you imagine that?
Imagine they actually grow. You have to feed them, of course.
One becomes a rooster.
Whoa!
Whoa!
No, boy.
And the rooster decides he's going to talk to the neighbors at the crack of dawn or
nice,
before.
Absolutely. Or all night long.
Or all night long. And my client gets turned into the gendarmes. And the gendarmes come up and say, it's against the law to have chickens in Port St. Lucie. You can't have those. So he calls me up. Now, I'm living out on Indian River Drive, and I got 4 acres out there, and I'm zoned for everything. So I go and I grab the chicken coop and the 3 chickens. Got it? Now, I'm a city kid, right, Vince?
No, you haven't been a city kid for 50 years.
Thank you. But I'm a city kid, born and raised in Detroit, you know, where there's concrete and bushes.
You
no difference in you.
No, I grew up with the concrete jungle.
Yep. So anyway, even though we had a place out in the country on a lake, we didn't know it was country because it wasn't really country because you have a 30-foot lot on a lake. That's your cottage, you know, and that's not really what you call country, even though it was, you had to drive through country to get there. Anyway, so
Could you see your neighbors?
Oh, see them. I could touch them out my door.
You weren't living in the country.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I bring my chickens home.
Yeah.
And my dog, Grouper.
Grouper, I remember Grouper.
Remember,
yeah.
Grouper? He takes one look and said, sushi. Well, one chicken was immediately gone because Grouper was gone. He said, I'll be sorrowful later, but there won't be a feather. There'll be nothing. And there wasn't. He came back home and he was, oh, I feel so guilty. But boy, it was good. So then I build my chicken coop and I put up a fence around it. And I'm happy and I'm getting eggs. You know, everything is working good. And do you know how many coyotes we have up here?
Lots of them.
Here.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot.
I mean, lots of coyotes.
Mm-hmm. So we have panthers too. And
we got everything. Bobcats, panthers.
Foxes.
Foxes. Well, anyway, we had a coyote that was the fattest coyote I've ever seen because my neighbor put up a surveillance camera. And here comes this coyote waddling, I mean, because he's eating not only my chickens. Well, anyway, that was the end of my chicken career. But these were Polish chickens, P-O-L-I-S-H. Now, this Polish chicken, some of them look like Don King.
Okay, Don King. Big hair.
They got this hair on top of their head. I mean, they are they have different colors. They're purple and yellow and red and blue. They're every color in the world, and they have different hairdos. They are the strangest looking animal. One of them, a hen, my granddaughter would come over and hold it and pet it. I mean, chickens are neat. I really learned to like chickens, but my coyote liked them better. It was the end of my chicken career, is my point. So when you get up to Georgia, whenever you finally decide to die and go up to Georgia, isn't that a song?
Are you dying?
No.
Georgia. He hoping to continue living
no,
in Georgia.
No, it's Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind. Close enough.
Hoagy Carmichael.
Very good. And Willie sang it, too.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people sang it.
Everybody sang Georgia on my mind. Anyway, all I know is that the Polish chickens were a very unique critter. And then I checked them out online. There are clubs worldwide, and I'm talking in multiple countries, that share information, because they have these, some that look like a rock star.
Chicken clubs. Kind of like political parties.
There might be some similarity, especially to the, it's not a political show, right? We can't
no.
do that?
No.
We can't disparage liberals?
No, all political parties. Chickens.
Anyway.
Chickens. The Polish chicken stories.
But I would tell you what, chickens are they're neat. They are really good.
They're meat? Too? Did you say they're meat?
That too.
They're that. The neat meat.
Okay, I've got one more chicken story to tell you. And I may have told you this one already.
Well, here we come. Well, here he comes.
My mother got married when she was 66 years old.
Yeah.
Didn't I tell you this one?
I don't remember this one. 66, she got married. Okay.
This was her last marriage. Now, Mom was a widow twice before that. I mean, getting her a date was getting tough, but she got this third guy.
And she got a third guy after all that?
Yeah, yeah. And he was 71. Name mm-hmm. was Jack Helmstead. Born in Brooklyn. You know the neighborhood.
No, my wife does. I was a Queens boy.
You're close enough. You went over to visit in Brooklyn.
Yes,
I know you did.
Yes, I did.
So anyway, and then they moved Long Island because nobody stays in Brooklyn forever. They move out, which is typical of what happens.
In the old days.
And he worked for the phone company his whole life. So he had this great pension. So he and Mom, I mean, they were the talk. They were the scandal of Circle Bay here in Stewart. Two old people sneaking around, and finally Mom caught them and they got married. Well, this is I'm gonna have to clean this story up a hair, because my mom called me one day and says, Joe, Jack asked me to marry him. Now this is 20 some years ago, and I said, good, Mom, what'd you say? She goes, well, I said yes, but he wants to talk to you. Now, in lieu of a father, you go to the oldest son, right? So I said, okay, listen, let's do this. I've got a zoning meeting in Fort Pierce. Our favorite Chinese restaurant is in Fort Pierce. Let's meet there. So we agreed to meet there, and I got into the zoning meeting. If you've ever been in a zoning meeting, they last till midnight sometimes, so I couldn't get out. So I called the restaurant. Now, Chinese restaurants, almost all of them are very similar. You have a room where you can see every table, and they have a podium, like a checkout counter podium, that can see every table, and on that podium is the cash register and a phone. Mm-hmm. So I call the restaurant and I tell them who I am. I'm looking for this guy, and they get him. Jack comes to the phone and I said, Jack, I'm in the zoning meeting and I can't get out. And Jack says, oh, Joe, I really wanted to talk to you. And he says, I don't know if your mom told me, but I told you, but I asked her to marry me. And I just wanted to talk to you about it. And I says, well, Jack, I just have one question for you. And he said, what's that? And I says, well, do you and Mom have to get married? Now, before he could think, he said, no, we don't. And I says, oh, Jack, that's good, because the last two times she had to, and it's kind of embarrassing in the family. This would be kind of nice for a change. Well, he yelled out big time, expletive deleted. I can't even hint at it because it was pretty rough. It started off with an S.
Okay.
Anyway, and he hung up on me. He says, I'm not going to marry her unless I get a dowry. And he hung up. Now, my mother was a bit naive. Now, both of them are dead and gone, but she was a bit naive. She actually believed him. So I said, okay, Mom, I will get him a dowry. He says, well, you better talk to him, because he said he's not going to go through with this marriage unless he gets a dowry. So I call up Jack, say, Jack, okay, fine, I'm going to get you a dowry. And he goes, okay, what is it? And I said, I'm not going to tell you, but you'll have it the day before you get married. And if it's not acceptable, you don't have to marry my mother. He said, fatal mistake. Okay. So I conspired with his two kids, my brother and I conspired with his two kids, son and daughter, to take them out for a long lunch the day before they got married. Now, they got married Valentine's Day, by the way. Very romantic. and being the good. Now, they lived in Circle Bay condominiums down the street here, and Circle Bay has private parking, you know, the carports.
Okay.
And the rule when you live in a condo, you know, seniors, all seniors, you have your private parking. If somebody uses your private parking, you get to kill them. That's perfectly legal.
Oh.
So
I think he's stretching this a little bit.
Just a little bit. So anyway, being the good son that I am, I look up dowry in the dictionary, and you know, it talks about transportation, food, clothing, stuff like that. And I says, well, you know, these old people could use transportation and food. So we went down to Snake Road
Auto Salvage,
and we bought the worst junk car you have ever seen in your whole life. Only had two wheels, didn't have an engine, hood came off, and we brought it out on a flatbed truck and slipped it into their private parking spot. Then we took the hood off the car and laid it in front of the car and spray painted it Mary's Dowry.
Oh, man.
Now, but I'm a good son. You see, I was worried about them having food. So I went out and bought two live chickens and two live rabbits and put them in the car.
Nice.
Now, here's the chicken story, the way it goes. Here's the city kid, right? I have never touched a chicken in my life. You ever touched a live chicken in your life?
No.
Okay. Pastor Tom has. So I go to this farm out in Palm City, and I tell him what I'm going to do. And he said, okay, $10 for the two chickens. He gets a box. He sticks his hand out, grabs one, sticks it in the box, sticks his hand out, grabs another, sticks it in the box. And I thought, my, this is amazing that these two chickens would just let you do that. So we go and put the chickens in the car, and then I went to Palm City Feed and told them the story, and I got them two live rabbits. And the Palm City Feed people, they were wonderful. The guy, the farmer, said, I want $10. And I said, I'm going to bring them back. He says, I'm not giving you your money back. And I said, I don't want my money back. I just don't want to keep the chickens. He said, okay, when you bring them back, just throw them in a chicken coop. Don't worry about it. Palm City Feed, two live rabbits with a rabbit cage and a water feeder, mm-hmm. and a food feeder.
Right.
And they loaned me all of that, didn't even charge me a nickel, nothing. So.
Gets better. The plot thickens.
It gets better. So I hate to finish this with Pastor Tom answering the phone call. We may have to take a phone call in between.
Why don't you hold the story for a
We may have to
seconds.
Hold the story for a little
keep
bit.
The,
By
keep the
way,
audience
this
suspense.
This is the Team Martech Hour. The only reason this got started, how did it get started?
Because I was asking you about Polish chickens, and I don't know, were they the Polish chickens? I mean, did you put those Polish
no,
chickens
I,
in
whatever
the car?
Kind
what
of,
kind of chickens
whatever
were
kind
they?
Of chickens he, well, hey, I didn't ask for their pedigree, but they were live.
Okay.
Okay, so I got these two live chickens, and you know, I know Polish chickens now. I don't know another breed except Rhode Island Reds are real tall. The males mm-hmm, are really mm-hmm, big guys. Mm-hmm. That's the only other one that I know. But you know, there's probably 20 or 30 or who
different
knows how
varieties.
Many. Mm-hmm. I mean, like cows, there's lots of them. Even though they all look like cows to me, they, you know, they got black ones and white ones and gray ones and purple. You know, all these different colors. Anyway, so they. I got to wait for Pastor Tom. But let's talk about Team Martech.
Oh, yeah. Tell the audience about Team Martech.
We are not here to talk about chickens. And my mother's getting married. We're not here.
No, we're not, although it's an interesting story.
We're going to anyway. But the key was Team Martech started doing radio shows back in 2004, give or take. We're not sure, but we know it was at least 2004. And the concept is very simple. Joe Martech's a financial advisor, also called a stockbroker. I'm called a securities principal. Lots of licenses. As far as I know, I'm licensed to do everything, even though I can't say that literally, because when you have a broker dealer that you work through, and most all of us have to have such a thing, which is called like Merrill Lynch, Dean Witter, mine's called Centaurus, they have certain things that they don't do. So even though I'm licensed, I don't do everything, but I'm licensed as far as I know. Now,
as far as you know.
As far as I know.
Okay.
Now, a whole bunch of clients later, I now have clients all over the Treasure Coast and in 13 other states because people move and referrals and as it goes. But the reality is this. In order to be what I call a credible professional, credible. By the way, who smashed your head?
Don't ask.
Don't ask. Okay. Your wife got mad at you again?
Don't ask.
Don't ask. Anyway, so in order to be what I consider a credible professional, you can't help your client with every subject because there's no way you're going to know everything. So credible professionals usually align themselves with other credible professionals. And I'm using that word credible big time because when you spend years and years and years to get your reputation, you want other people that have spent years and years and years to get their reputation, that have major word integrity, they have experience, they have how do you get experience without time? It's impossible. You have to learn stuff over a period of time. And after you've been in business for 15, 20, 30 years, let's face it, you know most of the stuff. You never know it all because new stuff comes along constantly.
You could have had a Vulcan mind meld and you would have gotten the experience right off the bat.
Thank you very much. But we didn't. And I didn't and you don't.
No.
So then I met Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. It was a big, big word because after the 92 hurricane, insurance became a monster subject. Houses, businesses, cars. Independent was critical rather than somebody that works for just one insurance company. They work for the client. Greg Fasula, attorney. When I meet a new client or suspect, I talk wills and trust. My part of my responsibility as I look at it is to make sure the cart and the horse are in the proper order. And I counsel and teach rather than sell. Of course they have to do business with me for me to eat, but the bottom line is not everybody does, and that's okay. My biggest responsibility as I see it is to make sure people are doing the right thing. So Greg Fasula, attorney, became a second one. Why? Only attorney I know personally that I want as a next door neighbor. He's a good guy. He's fair. He's honest. He's not pretentious. He's not pushy. He's not arrogant. He's just a flat good guy. And wills and trusts are his expertise. So that's what I needed. Then, over a period of time, we added Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, because all of a sudden the real estate debacle hit with the recession. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, critical person, because, and I'll tell you, Mike can tell you in 15 minutes what you qualify or don't qualify. He'll answer all the questions that sometimes people spend months trying to learn, and Mike will let you know in 15 minutes. And last but not least, sitting across from me, Vincent Rosino,
yes,
CPA,
sir.
Who's also a forensic CPA. I love that word, forensic.
I know you do.
That's a neat word. You know, how many people really know that? Nobody knows that word until...
Well, they do now because you got shows out there like CSI and things like that where they get into forensics. Okay. Detailed examination to support a litigation.
See, now he's using big words. Basically, it means he's an expert witness recognized by the courts.
Yeah, so the courts will recognize that CPA plus the forensic designation. So
in order to have that designation, you have to be recognized by the courts. You can be an expert witness with no experience whatsoever, and the courts say, we don't care about you. You're going to have to earn your wings. So the forensic means they have the designation of an expert witness. So the CPA was critical because if we haven't noticed, this is a tax America. And the tax code, to put it mildly, has changed. And to put it even more mildly, this year coming up probably is going to be the biggest changes in the tax code.
Since 1986.
At least, since Reagan did some major, major changes in the tax code. So the group consists of Greg Fasula, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Vince Rosino, CPA, Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart Realtor, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, and Joe Martek, financial advisor. That's our group. Now, Pastor Tom, where are you? Is he hiding? Is he on the radio? He's on the...
He's on the phone,
Is he on the phone?
But, you know, it's time for...
We should give him the number?
Give him a number.
1-888-221-8990. All right, class. Now, here's an important thing. This is the talk show. I'm not the only one that's supposed to talk. You're supposed to call us with questions. We already let you know this whole group has a storehouse of knowledge to help people, and that's our job here is to help and teach, and you call. Keep this number handy. Because you can call anytime. You don't have to call just when we're on the radio. If you want to be on the radio, you call and we will talk to you on the radio. And that's good because what you ask can help other people. 1-888-221-8990. That's toll free from any place, including the Bahamas, I think.
Wherever this radio station reaches ears.
It might cost you $2.50 a minute to get out of the Bahamas on the phone, but the call here is cheap.
Yeah. But I don't know what their phone system's like down there.
Well, I just know when I go over there, it costs me $2.50 a minute to use the phone.
Just to use it?
Just to use it.
That's not the line charges.
That's not long-distance charges or anything. Wow. That's just to get out of the Bahamas.
That's crazy.
1-888-221-8990. So I guess I better finish my mother's story, even though Pastor Tom is hiding on us. Because
he is, because we've been waiting on tenterhooks.
Is he look like he's working out there? Can you tell?
That's a loaded question.
I know.
I don't know. I can't tell what he's doing. He's sitting at a desk. He might be on the phone. Ah. Come listen to us finish this story. Oh, so he's not on the phone.
Well, I don't know. He's pretending he is. We don't know. So anyway.
So here he comes.
Here he comes. So Mom and Jack go out to lunch, and they come back, and we have the car. We have the hood off, sprayed Mary's Dowry, got two live chickens and two live rabbits in the car, because Palm City Feed gave us the chicken, the rabbits. And we also called the Stewart News and the local TV station. And the Stewart News sent out a photographer and a reporter. And we agreed my brother would hurry up and get the car into the spot, because some of the condo commandos didn't appreciate us bringing that junk car into the community. So by the time my mom and Jack showed, there was about 60 people standing in the parking lot, some smiling and laughing, some wanting to kill me, which is perfectly understandable.
Absolutely.
So in comes Mom and Jack. And the Stewart News did a whole page on the local section in color showing pictures of Mom and Jack. Mom was smiling and laughing. Jack was not.
He'd been hoodwinked.
Of the two chickens, one was a rooster.
Ah.
And he was standing on the steering wheel looking out the windshield. So they had a neat picture of him. And the Stewart News said, they interviewed Jack and said, asked him what he thought of the dowry. And they quoted, "We can't print exactly what he said." But in effect, he said, "Next time I ask Joe for something, I'll be a little more specific."
Uh-huh.
Well, they got married, which I knew they would. You know, Jack was not really necessarily happy with me. So here they are, the car in that private parking spot. Now, February is cool, even in Florida, right? Mm-hmm. And it's in shade. And the neighbors, I mean, they're worried about the chickens and the rabbits, so they're going down and feeding them and taking care of them. And every day, Jack would call me on their honeymoon. Jack, yeah, Dad. Joe, I said, "Jack, you still married? You and Mom?" He goes, "Yeah." And I said, "You having a good time?" "Yeah." He said, "Joe, those chickens and that car and rabbits are still there." And I said, "Dad, you asked. I gave. You don't have to thank me. I understand, you know, how you feel, but you're welcome. Joe, this is not funny." And I said, "Jack, I'm serious. Thank you, Dad. I mean, you know, this is good." Anyway, we kept it there for 3 days.
Oh, jeez.
And then took the car back and took the chickens back and took the rabbits back. But we had more fun than you could possibly imagine with, you know, Mom.
Did your mother appreciate that? She was. Did you think
Mom,
it was funny?
Mom got married. She was happy.
Okay.
Jack, I tell you what, Vince, and you understand the Brooklyn people. This was a big, gruff German Helmstedt pussycat underneath that exterior. You know how the exterior to the interior. He was one of the best men I've ever met in my entire life. Just a flat good guy, and he was so sweet and gentle that whenever I picked on him, he wanted to kill me. Minor thing. So we had a really one time I called him up and I said, "Jack, you know, my real father died." And he goes, "Yeah, Joe, I know." And I said, "You know, I feel kind of funny about this. I don't know exactly what to call you, but would you mind if I called you Dad?" "Oh, Joe, gee whiz, of course. Just, hey, Dad, would you loan me 10 grand? And he goes, "You..." I can't expletive delete it. That was how. Unfortunately,
I don't know you, Joe. Is that what he said?
Unfortunately, or fortunately, they were married for 2 years and Jack died.
Ooh.
But they had two magnificent years, and they really did. It was a good thing. But obviously, after three widows, now can you imagine me getting Mom another date?
No,
there was no chance. I said, "Ma, forget it. We are not finding you another guy. It's over with. You know, you got that black widow shroud over the top of you. We can just hang it up."
She's the kiss of death for those guys.
No,
that
kidding.
Was it.
And I say, "Mom, how come all these guys all die with a smile on their face? What's the story?" And 1-888-221-8990. So what's the rumors in with the Trump administration and the tax code?
Well, interestingly enough, that they pushed the Obamacare thing. I don't say they pushed it on the side, but the number one priority
big time is, on the radio today
is tax. Yeah. Is the tax overhaul. They want to overhaul the tax system. I think that's a good thing, but what's coming down the pike is going to be good, good for business, good for the country, I think.
If it happens,
if
right?
If it happens, yeah.
Does this affect personal income tax?
Oh, I suspect it will, but mostly it's geared, I think, to the businesses.
Corporate tax.
It's corporate taxes. They want to reduce that. The people who are in small businesses, they want to reduce the small business tax rate. For example, people with S-Corps, LLCs, that kind of
Stay with this thought for a minute, Tom. If you're a small businessman, everything you have passes straight through, LLC or like a subchapter S. There is no corporate tax. It passes straight through. But you could be taxed at 25, 30, 35, 30.
It passes straight through to personal income.
Personal income tax, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right. Because that's only in certain pass-through entities. The corporate tax is the one he's referring to specifically is basically C-corps.
C-corps, big companies.
Where big companies are paying 35 and 36 and sometimes as high as 39% on their income. So he's really gearing himself towards that market, if you will, those people. But it's going to filter down to the rest.
Well, I heard someone, they were talking about the corporate tax. You know, let's say they're paying 39%.
Mm-hmm.
If they lower that alone, is that going to be enough incentive for those companies to stay in America, do you think? Because one person brought up that the biggest part of the expense is salaries, the payroll. And that, you know, when you start looking across the border and you can pay somebody $3 an hour as opposed to, you know, the minimum wage of $8.50 an hour. You know,
there's two different concepts here. One is that the tax rate reduction itself is gonna improve employment or whatever in the country. I don't know necessarily that's true, but I think what they're really trying to go after is two things. One, they want to bring money back in from offshore. Mm-hmm. That's been sitting out there not being taxed, number one. Number two, they want to give the companies enough left. If they reduce the tax rate, they'll have enough money left to reinvest in infrastructure, to reinvest in growing the business, and thereby bringing in more people, increasing employment. But here's the offset to that. The offset is with the age of technology coming upon us, when there's going to be more robotics and things like that, you wonder in the long term whether we'll have net job growth.
Well, I look at it as this. A company, say, is a corporation, let's take General Motors, somebody big like that, and they have a 35% tax rate. That's after salaries, after everything is done, the money that goes to the owners, which are
the stockholders,
mm-hmm. First it's taxed at 35%, and then any money left over now goes to the stock owners, in theory, in a dividend.
Well, they do it in a dividend, and then they pay tax on it again.
So what he's saying is, what if I can lower that 35 to 15 or 20 or 25, pick any number, it makes us more competitive worldwide because we technically have the highest corporate tax rate in the world right now. Okay. If we're more competitive, what Vince is saying, more of that money might come back into America and be reinvested. Secondly, this is Bill Clinton. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
I watched him on TV a couple years ago, was talking about his foundation, but somebody snuck in a question about employment and wages. And quite honestly, I have admiration for Bill as being one of the smarter guys. I'm not necessarily agreeing with everything he did, but he was a very brilliant guy. Mm. And he said, when unemployment gets very low, the wages will take care of themselves. And here was the theory, and this is proved out in history. You run an ad when unemployment is 10, 12, 15%, you get 300 people apply for one job. You run an ad when unemployment's at 4 and 5%, you might get one or two people apply for the job. In order to hire people when unemployment is very low,
you got to pay higher wages.
You
got
to pay more money. And in order to keep your good people, going away, getting headhunted, because there's headhunters all over, you have to pay them more money. So in theory, in history, the people at the top start to take cuts in pay, or they don't get as much money, and the people down below start getting more because
in theory.
It has happened, and they've got some statistics to prove it. So his whole thing was the concept of trying to control this by government doesn't work. You've got to do it by free enterprise, which America is based on free enterprise. It's just called, how come some attorneys charge $1,000 an hour and other attorneys charge $100 an hour? Well, the guy that's at the top of his game, he's got people standing in line wanting to hire him.
Mostly influence.
Guy at the bottom of his game, starting off brand new, he's got to build a practice and he may not be as good. So there are some rules of basic business and being entrepreneurial and being corporate. So what I'm hoping is, and we all are, that the Trump boy is going to bring back money into America, which will stimulate more growth, which will also stimulate higher wages if unemployment stays very low, and if you believe the unemployment rate,
which I don't believe it is.
First of all, it's always been the same skewed number. It's never been the truth as we've ever seen it.
I'm sure it was always skewed, but I don't know to what degree. How many people we now have that have just given up finding a job?
Well, we don't know. The point is, the object is, if less people are looking for a job when you're hiring, you're probably going to have to pay a little more to get the one you want. Okay, how do you pay more if you can't afford it? You have to take a cut in pay. So if Vince has two people working in his office and he's paying $15 an hour to these people, and all of a sudden he can't get anybody to go to work and he has to hire a third one, he may have to go to $18 an hour or to $20. And that happens. That's called competition, and that's called the reality of the way the world works. Mm-hmm. So,
except superimposed technology on top of that.
Now, but here comes history. I love this part. Have you ever heard of boats? Barges, canals.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Guess what? They almost got put out of business. That's how everything moved in Europe, was by boats and barges and canals. But all of a sudden, horses and wagons got put out of business by the train. Mm-hmm. New technology.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the train became the main thing for moving goods from point to point, going 20, 30 miles an hour rather than 5 miles or 1 mile an hour.
But you were improving electromechanical processes. You were going from animals to...
Look at all the horses you put out of business.
Oh, my heart bleeds for those horses, believe me.
And all the blacksmiths.
But that started a whole new industry.
It starts a new industry. Glue. But each time you... Glue, right? Each time you start one, you eliminate another, it seems. And each time you do that, you cut out some jobs. You don't add more jobs.
One of the arguments about the technology that's improving, you know, and people say, well, the robots have taken over a lot of people's jobs. And
right.
Well, now you got to have somebody to fix the robot. You got to have somebody to fix the technology. And
they're much higher paid.
And so it may be that some of the technology continues creates more jobs.
Well, it doesn't necessarily create,
but it's going to obsolete people.
Yes, exactly.
Unless they retrain.
On the low ends, the jobs will be disappearing more. However, talking about higher tech jobs, people up here.
Many more.
You're probably going to need more of those. You already have a lot of them now because
there will be more.
That whole industry has been growing for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people going into the industry to start with.
But you will find certain occupations that will never leave. Let's take the food service industry. Let's take every young person that's waiting on tables. Let's take the construction industry with the hammer and the plumber and the electrician. If the price of the housing keeps going up because of supply and demand, these people mm-hmm. make more money. But this is some industries.
If you allow free market to operate, yes.
I love that, Vince. Yeah. If you allow free market to operate. Look, hey speak of the devil. Can you believe he showed?
Yes, I do believe it. He's a little late, but better late than never.
You're on. You can twist it. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. He's late, but he showed up.
Well, I went out to my car, and there was a big old bolt stuck in out of my tire. So I had to run over there to get it fixed.
Did you get it plugged or patched?
Just a plug, because I was in a rush to join you here.
I am impressed, because my place that I go to won't plug anymore. They only patch.
Well, what's the story with that?
Yeah, the patching is probably better.
But they say it's better.
It's better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, hey, the plug, did you do it yourself or you pay somebody?
No.
I'm
not that talented.
The construction guys, they carry, because they're running over nails all the time in construction. So they carry that thing in their car. They got the thing that pierces it. 1-888-221-8990. We now have Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, here. So we were talking.
We were talking about technology.
I was listening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think he's right. The higher tech jobs will be there. But depending on policy. If the policy is to put the H-1B visas on and increase that, they'll be bringing more of that talent in from.
Well, our business in the mortgage industry has been
highly automated. Now we have to do everything electronic. Everything is automated underwriting. But they just, what they do to make up for that is they just make us do more.
I was just going to say, your business was only a quarter of an inch thick when you started off. Now that same is 4 inches thick.
Well, paper. Back in 2004 and 5, we just checked your pulse, and if you had a heartbeat, then you got a mortgage, which was not the right way
that's
to lend.
I mean, that's not the way it is.
No, and nowadays we have to verify everything, and it's becoming more and more automated. Matter of fact, you heard about some of these other mortgage companies advertising Rocket Mortgage.
Rocket.
So all that is all these loans are automated underwriting, and now they have links.
You can link all you want, but we have to take this call.
Okay.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Good afternoon, Mr. Joe.
Hi,
how are you? I've been to your program for a while.
Very.
I have a financial question.
Go ahead.
I have some money in a traditional IRA.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to be saying it correctly, but it's the percentage rate is at 4%, and the financial person that helped me to transact the transaction said that it wouldn't go any higher than 8 if the market should get bad, and it wouldn't go any lower than 4. So I'm in between 4% and 8%.
How long ago did you get this?
That was in June of 2015. So this June would be 2 years.
Now, have you watched your statements that you're getting from them every so? How often do you get a statement?
I think I get a statement every 3 months. I get something every 3 months, and I get another thing. I get a lot of papers, some every 3 months, some every 6 months. The problem is that I'm not too sure as to how to read it.
Here's one of my problems. When I hear somebody that says you got a guarantee of 4 and no more than 8, now forgive me, but I'm a bit of a cynic. When I hear that stuff, I often want to see it in writing, because I'm sitting here with Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, who's only 140 years in the mortgage business, and Vince Rosino, who's 250 years as a CPA, and Joe Martek, that's 700 years as a financial advisor. And I have not seen in my experience, and they're all shaking their heads, we have not seen an instrument, especially written in 2015, that had a minimum of 4
and a max of 8.
I've not ever heard of such a thing. So my fear is that maybe, I hate to say it this way, but you might not have been told exactly how that instrument works. So what I look forward is I would need to see a statement. And I don't want you to tell me the name of the company on the phone, because I don't want to disparage anybody.
Right, I reserve that, yes.
Yeah, but normally what I would do, I would get a hold of the company, not the agent, but I would get a hold of the company directly, and I'd say, hey, this is me, which is you, and here's my here's my contract number. And I would say, okay, fine, I started off with X number of dollars.
Right.
How much interest am I being paid? And how much have I been paid so far? Uh-huh. And what's the lowest amount I can get paid? And what's the highest amount I can get paid? And you don't do that with the agent. You call the company directly. Now, I do this often with people that are coming up with this, and I'll sit with you and call the company directly myself, because I'm used to asking the questions in such a way that makes sense.
That's what I was going to say. I think I want to write this question down, because I am understanding what you're saying, and you asked about the statements that I got. I just called them, I just called a week or two ago as to what's going on with my account.
Right.
And she gave me some figures. I didn't check it out yet with my statement or to see what I started with and how much I've gained or whatever. She did tell me that. I'm sorry?
No, did you call the company directly or the agent?
No, the agent is no longer in existence.
Okay.
I moved away, and I received a letter from the company telling me that the agent is no longer there.
Okay.
And that was an agent from the job.
Okay. Now, let me ask you another question. Where do you live?
I live in West Palm Beach.
Okay. what I suggest you do, here's your questions. If you can, you got a, are you in a car or can you write these down?
One second, I'm going to park right now.
Okay. I don't want you to drive along and ask these. I don't want to hear a wreck.
No, sir. I'm trying to stay away from that. Yeah.
It's not good to have a wreck. That costs you more money than you're making.
Yep. Stay away from that.
Stay away from the wreck.
Okay, I'm going to park.
Okay, let me know when you're stopped and you get a pencil out and a piece of paper and I'm going to give you the questions to ask. And this is good for everybody. Mm-hmm. Right, Mike?
Sure, absolutely. You need to know how these instruments work because they're very complicated.
Most of them are not easy.
Yes.
And you know, some things are very, very simple. If you go to the bank and they say, we're going to pay you 1% for 5 years, well, boy, you know what that is. That's pretty simple. I can figure out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, that's what I make. But when they tell you bottom four, top eight, how does it get calculated? You want to know. So you let me know. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Number one, you call the company directly. They should have an 800 number on the statement. They will ask you your name, address. They'll ask you part of your Social Security number. They'll ask you for your contract number. And you say, number one, what's my accumulated value, my contract value? Okay?
Okay.
Number two, you say, if I cash this in today, what's the penalty I would pay to cash it in?
Okay.
Do you know what you started with this contract?
I want to say it was around $46,000-$47,000.
What I want you to say then, the next question is, you go backwards and say, how much did I start with? What's my, and did you add, did you ever add any money to this contract?
I think I did add something. I have all my papers together.
Well, no, what you hear back again. How much did I start with? How much did I add? They'll be able to give you all this over the phone. Okay, what's it worth today? How much interest is it paying now?
I did ask her, because I'm 57, and starting, I think, next 2019, January, she said a fix. I know that at 59 and a half, I could start going from the interest.
But that's got nothing to do with how much they're paying you. That has to do with being able to take money out without a government penalty. So let's just stay with the question, which is, how much interest is it paying now? Quote,
okay.
How much interest has it accumulated since I started?
Okay.
Is there a floor?
F-L-O-O-R.
And is there a ceiling on the interest?
Okay.
So,
floor
and a ceiling. Because you were told a floor of 4 and you were told a ceiling of 8, which I've never heard, but that doesn't mean that I'm right. I want you to do that. Okay. So you call them. And you get that information, and when you're done with that, when you're done with all of that, if you still are a bit unhappy or confused, I want you to call me, and I will sit with you, and we will call them again, and I will make 100% sure that you understand exactly what you've got.
What's going on? Okay, so can I read the questions back to you?
Yes.
On the company directly, ask the question, what's my accumulated value?
One.
What's the cash to work? What was that number 3 about cash?
What's the penalty if I cash it in?
Okay.
Okay, keep going. More questions.
How much did I start with?
How much did I start with?
What did I add?
And what did I add? There you go. Okay.
Right. And how much interest is it paying now?
Yes.
And how much interest was accumulated?
Yes.
Okay. And is there a floor / ceiling rate?
Yes. Is there a floor and a ceiling? Now, the next question gets very complicated. You don't need to ask this one. After you get done with that, you can call me and I can sit with you and ask the next one. But it's called, how do they calculate the interest? And that can be very, very confusing. You can ask them that. You can ask them that, but let me tell you what, 99% of the people in the world don't understand it, and half the people that are in this business don't understand how they calculate very often how you're paid interest. But if you stay with the questions I gave you, and then you still have your PIN and you're still parked, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You call me when you're done, and the phone number, you ready?
Yes.
772-678-7725.
And your name is?
Joe. This is a tough name, Joe. Uh-huh. Martek.
I got it.
M-A-R-T-E-K. Martek. If you just ask for good old boy Joe, that'll work.
Mr. Martek. I don't know if I take up too much of your time. I have a real estate question.
Go ahead. We got Mike Paulus, mortgage broker here. He'll help you with that.
Okay, so I bought the house in 05. It was valued at 126, I want to say. I did take out a second mortgage on it. And for some reason, I don't think I was treated fairly. I just don't think that something went wrong. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the person that did the transaction with myself came to the house. It was just myself and him.
Okay,
so the mortgage went up to, I want to say, 202, because I did take out a second mortgage. I bundled that together, the two mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time, before the two mortgages, at one time I wasn't paying because I went to NACA to get a lower interest rate. The mortgage right now is $192,189, something like that. But there, at the bottom of my statement in fine print, it says this is not the principal payoff for the house. But I never get a paper saying what is the payoff for the house.
Mm-hmm. Well, usually a payoff you have to request.
Usually, I have to request that.
Yeah. Now, do you still have a first and a second mortgage on that property?
No. They are accumulated together. Now,
okay.
I pay one mortgage.
But the verbiage at the bottom, it says that you may not be making your principal balance, principal payment?
No. It says that my principal balance, I see, is 192, I want to say, after they accumulate the first and the second mortgage.
Okay.
But at the bottom of that, it tells me what the principal is, and it says this is not the amount required to pay off.
Oh, I understand. Yeah, that's on the bottom of every statement. Correct. Because what happens on a payoff is that payoff amount is going to grow every day. Because your payment that you make, if you make your payment January 1st, that's actually for the interest that accumulated on your loan all throughout December. So if you take your December principal balance, they're going to tack on daily interest until that loan is paid off. That's why you can't go by a statement what the payoff is. You have to actually ask for a payoff statement, and it'll tell you what the balance is plus the per diem interest that you have to add on to that to get to the actual amount that you owe.
Actually, Mike, sometimes,
right,
my experience is they charge you like to the end of the month, and they make you prepay, and then they settle up when you pay. Actually,
but
pay.
The key is
but they'll also give
up.
You a per diem.
They're going to show
so
you
per diem. So you can do the calculation.
Per diem is a fancy word from per day.
Per day, exactly.
Hey, when you're in the mortgage business, you add an extra letter. You know, make it DM and rather than just DAY. That's okay.
I was thinking that they're telling me that the 2 years that I didn't pay. I was thinking that that's what they're saying.
Well, no, that's not what that means, but you know, there could be a back due balance that's owed. If you did a renegotiation of the mortgage, then a lot of times what they'll do is they'll take that deferred interest and they'll tack it onto the mortgage at the end. But I you're going to have to ask for a payoff figure to figure that out.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen, very much. I will call.
You call and ask those questions, and if you don't understand or they don't give you a straight answer, you call me, and I'll do it with you either over the phone or in person, and we'll make sure that you know what you've got.
Thank you very much, sir. If I need to move it or what I need to do. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling. 1-888-221-8990. Mike, have we ever seen anybody misrepresented when it comes to investments?
Never. That's why I like to hear you explain it, Joe, because you make sense of it.
I was talking today to my compliance people in California, and I had a new client, and they had, quote, an index annuity.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me up, and his wife had listened to us on the show, and I said, call him up and use your questions you have to ask. And then after you throw up, then you call me back. So the compliance people goes, Joe, is this product really as bad as I think it is? Because with compliance, they have to go through and make sure it's suitable. You can't just automatically switch something that's not suitable. And I said, it might be the worst one I've ever seen.
Oh,
caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hello, Team Martek.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Hey. Listen, well, except for being old, we're pretty good.
Yeah, speak for yourself, Joe.
There's nothing wrong with getting old. I have a question.
Go ahead.
How do the points, when you're ready to do your taxes, how do the points work regarding the new home when you buy, that you purchase a home and then, it's, you know, the next year you're ready to do your taxes? How does that work? I don't understand. I don't know if my accountant, he did that, or the person who did my taxes, he was able to get the points or...
Well, yes, a very appropriate question because I'm working on all that right now through my company. You get what's called a 1098 from the mortgage company, and it will tell you what you paid in mortgage insurance and points and origination fees. Anything that's tax deductible, it'll be listed on that 1098. That's what you need to give your accountant. But that doesn't have to be out to the consumer till the end of this month. So you may be waiting a while to get that.
Did you buy your house this last year?
Well, I bought it 16, but I don't think, and I don't remember if the person who did my taxes was able to.
Well, if you bought it in 16, in 2016, you won't get the information until the end of January because they don't have to tell you from a tax standpoint until the end of this month, and then you give it to your accountant, and then he would do your taxes.
No, actually, I bought it in 15, and it was September 15.
And then guess what? You should have got that 1098 Mike was talking about in January of last year.
Yes.
Say, caller,
uh-huh.
This is a new mortgage on this house?
Yes.
Those points are deductible in the year that you pay them. So they're right. You would have gotten a 1099 in January of 16, and then you would have taken those expenses on your 15 itemized return.
However,
if it was a refinance, that's a different story. But on a new purchase, you should be able to take it all.
You said 1098, Mike. Is that a different form than a 1099?
1099 is when you're reporting income, like as a subcontractor.
And a 1098
is what the bank gives you.
It's the bank for expenses.
They confirm what you paid.
So what you want to do is to talk to your accountant and say, hey, look, find your 1098 form from last year and say, did you itemize all of these deductions last year for me? If he did not, you can file an amended.
It all depends on what her other itemized deductions. Her accountant should be able to tell her that. Are you married? Are you a married caller? Well, if you're married, the exemption was $12,006 was your standard deduction last year. So if you added up all the points you paid, the taxes you paid, the mortgage interest you paid, and it all came up to less than $12,600, you probably wouldn't have seen it because it would have just taken your standard deduction.
Take the standard, yeah.
If you had more than the $12,600, then he would have itemized that along with everything else, and you would have known for sure just looking at your tax return whether he had taken those or she had taken those deductions.
I see. This only happens one time, right?
It's the year that you actually pay those points, or when I say pay,
whatever the
expenses. Even if they wrap it up into the mortgage, it's considered paid when you close.
What month did you buy the house?
September 15th.
Okay. Well, then you would have gotten the old, it was an older statement, it's called a HUD settlement sheet. But because in October, yeah, they switched the statement, and it's a little bit more complicated to read. But if you pull out your closing document, it'll break down everything you paid, and it'll also list if you paid points, if you paid prepaid interest, if you paid any kind of mortgage insurance. It'll be stated on that document, and that might help your accountant as well.
You see, I've found sometimes some banks, Mike, don't report out to you in the 1098 what the points were. Some of them don't. Some of them do.
The requirement's $600.
Some of them.
But here comes the key.
I've seen it on the HUD, though, in the HUD statement, which is not changed. And that's really the definitive.
Yeah, you should bring that to your
accountant for sure, and ask your accountant if your gross was $12,600, deductions automatic, and he said your itemized expenses were less than that, then it didn't make any difference. If your expenses were higher than that, then you would definitely want to have an amended return if he didn't do it.
Okay. I see. Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, caller.
That's a good question.
Call back. It's an excellent
question. We've never had that question. But, you know, every comes the complications that people just don't understand. And have you ever seen an accountant make a mistake, Vince?
That's
what I thought.
All you accountants stick together.
Never seen a CPA make a mistake.
It's like attorneys. I was down to a medical group in Palm Beach today. And, you know, I said, you know, the joke is that doctors get to bury their mistakes. And they all looked at me and said, it's not a joke.
It's a poor joke.
It's a poor joke, right? 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Now, we're winding down a bit, so we don't have a whole lot of time left. But you can call the radio station anytime. Pastor Tom or Karen or Dave will take your phone call. And if they're not asleep, wait a minute. Okay, Tom, sit up straight.
What?
They will take your name and number, and we will call you back. I want to thank you so much for your calls today. Those were really good questions that we don't get, which is always amazes. You know what's an interesting...
That's good timing, especially the interest deductions and the points.
Now's the time, end of the year.
Absolutely. Well,
you want to make sure because the end of January, all these forms are supposed to come out except for K-1s or something with...
K-1s are different.
Yeah.
And they changed it this year, too. The reporting requirements are a little different this year for entities.
So what's entities meaning coming to an entity?
No, like partnerships.
So they have different requirements?
They have different requirements now. They're going to have to issue by March 15th.
Don't you love it? You got 2 days to file. Here comes your form, right?
Yeah.
All right. I think we're just about out of time, Tom. Is this
about
fair? 45 seconds. Mike, we can cure the ills of the world in 45
That's
seconds.
That's true. Yep.
I hear that the Rocket Mortgage stuff.
It's going to be too much to explain in 45 seconds.
Isn't that the truth? There's no such thing, folks. I got to tell you something. It's still the
government. It's only going to address a very small percentage of the population. So it's not a product that's going to help everybody.
There you go. 1-888-221-8990. We are definitely about out of time.
We're out of time.
Hey, Merry Christmas. It's over.
Christmas is over, Joe.
Happy New Year.
Not until Friday.
That's right. We've been doing the Jewish New Year.
You know, we have people asking us why we're still playing Christmas music. I said Christmas is not over
until
Friday.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Hey, thank you so much for listening. Until next week.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.